Welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. We're here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is going to be your opportunity to hear insights, hints and tips from people who have been there and done that. And today's guest is a very, very special guy. His name is Paul Doran. He has been a trader. He's been a seller since the age of 14. He started his business in the late 90s in a £50 shared office at the age of 24. He retired at the age of 34. Now, during that 10-year crazy period, he built multiple businesses in multiple industries. Now, he lives in Cheshire. He meditates daily and published his book in 2012 and wants to promote the message, be happy no matter what. Paul, how are you doing? Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Gary. Really appreciate it.
That's cool. So, for the people who haven't heard anything about you, let's just do a quick recap. Tell people kind of where you've been and what you're doing at the moment, just in a quick snippet, and then we'll go into a few more details.
Yeah, so I think you covered it quite well. I started a business in 1999. I was 24. Retired in 2007. So, quite a crazy period of doing nothing but business. Mm-hmm. Been trading financial markets full time ever since, and the back end of last year started to build a new business.
Cool. So you say it was a crazy 10-year period. Let's just have a little talk about, first of all, just before that, you've seen in your bio you were always entrepreneurial and you started trading different things at the age of 14. Does it come easy to you, kind of trading and understanding markets?
No, I don't think it comes easy to anybody, really. Mm-hmm. Trading is very, very simple. Like lots of things in life, it's simple to understand, but it's extremely difficult to execute. And the reason it's difficult to execute is you're trying to master your feelings and emotions.
Gotcha.
Tends to be what screws people up in trading, but also business and relationships.
Got you. So is it that kind of internal battle almost?
I would say for most of the time that I've been trading, it has been a battle, and in life as well. So there's this constant conflict between kind of these two things you've got going on internally, which is the logical structure to your brain, mm-hmm. and then the emotional center. And they're obviously in conflict a lot of the time, and you have like this Jekyll and Hyde effect, which is certainly true for me.
Got you. So for the people who don't know what trading is, can you just kind of give a brief synopsis about it?
You're basically trying to capture a move in a market.
Got you.
So you either think a market's going to go up or it's going to go down, and you're taking a position in either direction. What you then get to understand is that it's risk management is far more important than guessing the direction of markets.
Got you.
What most amateurs are doing.
Okay, so I know my limited knowledge of trading is basically what I've seen on TV, and that probably shows the most extreme cases, such as Wolf of Wall Street, which probably isn't trading. That's probably more marketing and more kind of sales and motivation and boomf, I suppose. That's probably not trading in a sense of the word, but you know, it seems to be an art that some people know about stocks and shares, but some people don't. And that's quite interesting to me in terms of how people get into that. Did you have an interest before you started, or did you fall into it?
I was skipping school. I decided very early on that I didn't want to go to school.
Okay.
So I was smart enough to work out that the only place they wouldn't think of looking was the library.
Fair enough.
I went to the library. And they had a copy of the Financial Times.
Okay.
So I used to go to the back and be kind of, I suppose, mesmerized by all these numbers and think, well, what does this mean? And mm-hmm. what's all this about? And being in the library, you could look it all up. So I'd read something in the FT, and then I'd go and find a book on the subject. So it might be oil, it might be economics, it might be geography, you know, to do with the oil markets. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got started. So at the back of the FT is all the closing prices.
Okay.
More financial instruments. And I was basically trading on what would now be called trading on demo, meaning you have no money.
Okay.
I was too young to get a brokerage account. So I would basically have a pen and piece of paper and imagine I was buying sort of 300 shares of Shell and then track the prices each day rather than go to school.
Nice. I bet that was quite fun, actually, and a lot of people can... Is there anything you can compare it to nowadays that people do roughly the same?
Yeah, you can trade on demo.
So okay.
You can open a brokerage account for free, and they'll give you, say, £100,000 of demo money, and you can trade exactly the way you would in the markets with real money, but without taking any financial loss. What tends to happen is people make money quite easily on demo, and then it all goes to bits when they use real money, because then your emotions come into play.
Okay, and this is where you say about managing emotions as well, and that kind of internal monologue and keeping it kind of sane, I suppose. So,
And I think there are three steps. I think the first step is realizing you have thoughts, feelings, and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And for a large part of my life, I didn't. I was that sucked into the feelings, thoughts, and emotions.
Yeah.
That there was no distance and no separation. So I was very impulsive. And then the second stage is noticing that you have feelings, thoughts, and emotions, and you do get dragged into them. And then the third stage is transcending them.
Got you.
Is realizing that, they're there, but you can kind of sit far enough away from them that they are largely, they don't affect you. And that's where I think you get very, very good at trading, because you trade like you're on demo then.
Got you. So you're taking the emotion out of it, you're in control of it, you're managing it.
But that's true of your relationships, it's true of starting a small business, it's true of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things where you want to get out of your comfort zone, but can't because of these thoughts, feelings, and emotions.
No, very, very true. And a lot of people don't take that first step because of the fear of doing it. And 9 times out of 10, that fear is put together by different constructs of what they've heard, their feelings. And actually, 9 times out of 10, it's never as bad as they think it is. And sometimes it's the complete opposite. They love it. And obviously, the more you do, the more you can manage it, and the more you can understand the process as well.
That's you mentioned meditation.
Yeah.
In my intro. And for a lot of years, I was effectively using meditation to relax, calm the nervous system down. Because I was diagnosed very early on with quite severe hyperactivity. We'll probably call it ADHD these days.
Okay.
I think it's just your nervous system being slightly higher in tone than normal. So I've always used it to calm my nervous system down. I realised very early on in life that I could soothe myself with it. But what I came to know through training and business about meditation is it can be used for that, but the more useful use for it is to create that distance that we were just talking about between your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And the way I've got a lot of younger people that I mentor, and the way I explain meditation to them is this. It's in life, you want to be able to sit back behind those thoughts, feelings, and emotions so that you choose your actions rather than being impulsively driven through life towards things or away from things. And like if you think of life as the performance, then meditation is like a a performer doing scales. So you know, Jay-Z might do some scales before he goes on, or go through some kind of process to prepare for the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is just practicing being aware that you've got thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and the idea is that you do the meditation to practice like scales,
mm-hmm.
and go into the world, and you're constantly trying to meditate, you're constantly trying to create that distance between your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And for me, why is that important for business or trading? It's because you make far better decisions
mm-hmm.
when you're calm. And if you're constantly sucked into your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, you'll make poor decisions. And I've often found, because I wasn't like this during my come up.
Mm.
I wasn't like this during the initial phase. It's only now I can see that there's a huge benefit from being calm.
Mm-hmm.
There's often, there's no decisions to make.
No. No, and I think that's actually an important lesson to learn. And let's just take people back during that time, and you've already alluded to it, when you weren't in control. You know, it was a crazy period of your life. You hadn't acquired these learned skills that you've got now. You know, there's going to be people listening to the podcast who might be in that same situation. So can you describe how you were feeling and what you were doing during that time, just so they can kind of relate to it?
I think I will put it like this, that most people who knew me at the time would say that I was successful. I wouldn't. I wouldn't for a reason. I wasn't very happy, and I was constantly fearful.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is a reasonable definition for success. So I would say that now I'm far more successful,
mm-hmm.
because I'm pretty much happy all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't need the money or the titles or the likes on Facebook to generate that inner peace of mind, that contentment. I can do that through the skills that I've acquired.
Mm-hmm.
So those 10 years, I think the true value in them was that I pursued material and outer success
mm-hmm.
for just long enough to realize that, like, it's a road to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly going to be chasing things like a wind. You drop 10 pounds in the wind and it stops on the floor and you run towards it, and just as you're about to grab it, it blows,
goes
off.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that success to me is peace of mind, and mm-hmm. I don't need all those the material wealth or the status or running a big company. I don't need those things, which isn't to say that you can't use those things as a vehicle to become happy,
mm-hmm.
to practice peace of mind. You can do both. But those 10 years were largely about getting money, making money,
mm-hmm.
Status, growing a business, with no clear reason why I was doing those things. I think I just felt that that's what I was supposed to do, and that somewhere along the line, you know, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that I didn't find, maybe other people will, but I didn't find that.
And when did you know it was the right time to get out?
I probably knew in 2005,
mm-hmm.
Because I'd made enough money that I realised, look, I'm not going to need to work again. I don't enjoy managing all these people. And I was starting to notice some health effects. So by the time 2007 came along, it was obvious to me the economy was going to go over a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to take all the risk off the table and actually starting to take positions in the opposite direction to mm-hmm. make money when the market went down. So it made sense to me to start Shenton staff and wind of back operations. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the economy went off a cliff in 2008.
Yeah.
But by that time I had sold businesses, got rid of some staff, and was sat mainly in cash.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much knew 2007 it was time for me to get out, and I was out.
Yeah. So fast forward to kind of between 2008, after you got out, and now, what are you up to? You know, because that's a long time of being really full on and really energetic, and as you said, being successful by other people's kind of levels, maybe not your own. What do you do after that?
Well, that was quite a struggle because it's kind of like diving. You can't walk in one go, and I did. So you get the bends, which is you go from being hyperactive,
yeah,
to twiddling your thumbs. So I did struggle for quite a large number, two, 3 years. I struggled quite a lot of, well, what do I do now? I'm 34. I don't need to go and get a job. I've always been hyperactive. What am I going to do with all this time and energy?
I was going to say, you need to get your energy out there somehow.
Yeah, and we had some children, so that took some time and energy.
Yep.
But then they started school, wife went back to work in the family business.
Mm-hmm.
So I was largely left to myself with a few pensioners. So I spent a lot of time reading and writing,
mm-hmm.
A lot of time trading markets, and then started mentoring people, trading. I was teaching people how to trade financial markets. We went on lots of holidays. I slowly started to adapt to a slower way of life, try and work out like who was I? Who am I? That was the biggest question I ever asked myself is,
yeah,
who am I? Is the most meaningful question I ever asked. So that's what I spent most of my time trying to work out. Who am I? And then it all fell in place.
So who is Paul? That's the big question.
So what I discovered is that at the core of me is a very, very quiet place that I can dwell in anytime I want.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in that place, full of joy, I'm happy, I'm content, I don't gossip about other people, I don't worry about things, and I can get there anytime I want, and that's who I am. The rest of it is just nonsense. And I create enough distance between that nonsense and me that anytime I'm sucked into that nonsense, I can recenter myself.
Brilliant. And just talking to you, I can already feel myself relaxing because your tone of voice is level. Your messages are very powerful, and there's been a lot of golden nuggets all the way through this podcast. Just to kind of finish off, I'd just like to ask two questions. The first one is, if you've got any kind of big hints, tips for anybody that they can take away and implement straight away today, what would be your top one?
Okay, so probably the most important thing I've ever done in my life, and that this is higher than having children, getting married, running a business, is inside every one of us, we have stored bad experiences, and they don't feel good. And rather than re-experience them, we suppress them. And anytime we go anywhere near anything in life that recreates those feelings, we run away or lash out at those experiences, which means you never release them. Your life is being guided by them. So the way out of that situation is go and find those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And when you create that distance so that you notice the thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And when you notice them, when you notice life pressing on those hot buttons that you've got, relax your shoulders and smile. That's all you need to do.
Perfect.
That's the edge of your comfort zone, because everything good in life lies beyond that comfort zone. and you've got to walk through it. And the way you walk through it is walk up to it, feel it, sense it. You'll know when you're there. Relax your shoulders and smile. You're not going to die. You can walk straight through it. And then opportunities lie on the other side of that comfort zone.
Absolutely ace. Perfect. Thank you very much. Now, we mentioned very briefly about your book that you released in 2012. Did you want to let people know a bit about it?
It's quite a short book, but it's my back in 2007-08, I think it was. It was 2012. I realised that I didn't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to a guy called Steve Peters, who wrote a book called The Chimp Paradox.
Yep.
And I went to spend the weekend with him, and it was him that kind of first made me realise that those thoughts, feelings, and emotions aren't who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just the experiencer of them. So the book is about my experience of going to see Steve Peters and the exercises that I did with him, and I wrote stories behind the lessons.
Lovely. And if people wanted to get a copy of that, is it available or can you send it to them?
It's available on Amazon, on Kindle, and I think it's like £2 cost of a cup of coffee.
Oh, perfect. Cool. So please, if you listen to this, check it out. And finally, before we kind of sign off, how can people get more information about your activities? Have you got a website? Have you got social media links? This is your chance to give them a shout out.
So if you want to look on the website, it's dailytradertv.com.
Cool.
Find out pretty much everything you need to know about trading markets. And I've got a Twitter account. It's Paul Doran, Doran. So it's Paul Doran, IWM. And that's on Twitter.
Ace. Well, thank you so much for your time, Paul, today. I know you're very, very busy. And yeah, I just appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Everyone, please check out the website, check out his book, and check out his Twitter feed. Let's chat again at another time, but cheers, Paul, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Cheers. What a show! Thank you so much for listening, and if you found any value in that, please share it with your friends and family on your favourite podcast platform, and also leave us a review. Let us know what you think by leaving a review or a comment. But all I've got to say is thank you so much for listening. Thank you very much, Paul, for being today's guest, and I'll catch you next time for the next edition of The Grow Show. Gary out.